Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. What a great song. Thought of Psalm 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. His mercy is indeed more. Praise the Lord. Peter has spilled much ink in this letter. First Peter is the book that we're in. He spilled much ink on the theme of suffering. Salvation radically changes a person and makes them different. And that lifestyle, that new life in Christ is counterculture. And as we go out from here and we live lives that are counterculture, we will experience some level of suffering. Peter has said plainly, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. We, the church, will be increasingly shamed by culture for our love of Christ, our belief in the gospel, for standing for biblical truth, but we will never be ashamed of Jesus Christ and His gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, Peter reveals that in times of suffering, the church needs godly leadership, needs godly pastors to lead the flock. He urges pastors here, be shepherds of God's flock. What a high calling that is, to be shepherds of God's flock. Just a couple weeks ago, Pastor John King forwarded a video to all of the pastors, a video that he had received from one of his pastor friends, and it had just this simple statement with it. It said this, as long as there are sheep, a shepherd's work will never be done. Now, there's no sound to this video, but the message is absolutely clear. I hope you get a laugh like we did this last week. Pretty fitting. I think the laugh show, we've all experienced that. Hey, guess what? Pastors included, shepherds included, we've all been pulled out of the ditch just to run down the line and jump right back into that same ditch. In our text today, Peter's going to employ that metaphor, shepherd and sheep. And what a beautiful metaphor that is. He's going to explain to us that shepherds are called to care for the flock of God. That's our calling as pastors, to care for the flock of God. Now, this text was written directly to spiritual leaders in the church, but it has practical implications for all of us, especially in member care. And I know you noticed the tables there in the lobby. We'll get to that. I want to unpack the truth of this passage first in 1 Peter 5, and then I'll explain to you what those tables are all about and a new effort that we're trying to bring about as far as caring for the members of this church. Peter gives us here in this text three attitudes with which the pastor should shepherd the flock or care for the flock of God. First, we are to shepherd the flock willingly. There's the first attitude. We are to do it willingly. And Peter starts his exhortation here by relating to his fellow pastors, to the men that he's writing to. You can see it there in verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and as one who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Peter, notice, calls the church leaders elders. Now, there are numerous terms throughout the New Testament that are used synonymously to refer to the same office of pastor. Those are elder, overseer, and shepherd. And we'll see some of those in this passage and some other passages that I'll share with you this morning. The term elder is the most common. It emphasizes spiritual maturity. And we're extremely blessed here at Johnston Chapel. I'm blessed as a lead pastor to have a team of pastors around me, a plurality of elders, four pastors to care for this flock at Johnston Chapel. We are also extremely blessed to have 10 deacons. That's 14 men all together who love Christ and love Christ's sheep. Now, there's no doubt about that. Notice Peter here, he highlights three things he has in common with those other pastors in Asia Minor. First, he was called as a shepherd. He was called the shepherd, the flock. John 21, Jesus Himself called Peter. Again, Jesus said, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Notice Jesus' reply, take care of my sheep. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. That Greek word, take care, is the same word in our text. Be shepherds. Take care of my sheep, Jesus said. So Peter was a fellow shepherd. He was shepherd of the flock at Jerusalem. He knew what it was to experience pastoral ministry, the joys of pastoral ministry, and the trials and challenges of pastoral ministry. He had that experience. Secondly, he was a witness of Christ's sufferings. And what that did is that qualified Peter as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And thirdly there, Peter suffered with Christ and with his fellow elders. So he's got the calling, he's got the authority, he has the experience to give this type of exhortation in 1 Peter chapter 5. So after identifying with his fellow elders, he gives them the same commission that Jesus Christ gave him. Look with me at verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Let's stop there. Be shepherds of God's flock. Again, a beautiful metaphor, shepherd and sheep. It appears all throughout the Bible. Maybe your mind has already gone there to Psalm 23, where David sings, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. What a beautiful psalm. What a beautiful metaphor. Isaiah said this, the Lord tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms, carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young. Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. What a beautiful metaphor again. Shepherd and sheep, a powerful one, used not just in reference to God, but used in reference to the spiritual leaders in Israel and now in the church as well. Sheep, they are helpless. As we saw in that video, a pretty helpless animal, very prone to wandering, a great description of me and you, of all of us. And the shepherd is responsible to care for them tenderly and lovingly. There's three ways that the shepherd takes care of the flock. First one is feeding. Shepherding involves feeding. The pastor is to lead the flock to green pastures where the sheep can be nourished. That's the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God, that they can be nourished on that through the preaching and teaching of the Bible. In fact, one of the pastor's qualifications is he must be able to teach. It's absolutely necessary that a pastor be able to open the Scriptures and to feed the flock of God. Consider Paul's challenge to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So shepherding involves feeding the flock of God. Shepherding also involves protecting. The pastor is called to carefully watch over the flock day and night, to protect them from danger, to do it courageously at times. Look at the advice Paul gave the pastors in Ephesus, Acts chapter 20. Keep watch over yourselves, pastors, and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. The pastor is responsible to defend the flock, to courageously protect them from false teachers, from false teaching that might draw them away from Christ. And thirdly, shepherding involves comforting. Sheep get hurt sometimes, don't they? They get injured. They get wrapped up in briars, wrapped up in fences. And the shepherd knows them. He grabs them in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. Likewise, the pastor is called to comfort members, hurting members. Whether that's wandering off into sin, or it's sickness in your own life, or the death of someone you loved. We just offered up prayers for numerous church families who are suffering, who are injured. The pastor is called to care for them. It's really the events of the past year that have pushed us as pastors and pushed us as deacons to reevaluate the care of our membership at Johnston Chapel. And what we're going to present to you today comes from a desire in our hearts to properly, effectively care for the flock at Johnston Chapel. And don't miss this point here. It's God's flock, not the pastor's flock. This is not my flock. This is the good shepherd's flock. All of us pastors, we are just under shepherds. We serve the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, by feeding and protecting and comforting the flock. Notice there in the first phrase, Peter writes, to the elders among you. It's an important phrase there. To the elders among you. The elder is to be among the people. And that's what we want to be as pastors, as shepherds. We want to be among you. We want to know you by name. We want to know your unique personalities. We want to know when you're hurting. Know your personal needs and minister to you in those ways. And that word overseers there in our text, that's that word, that title for pastor. It literally means this, to focus intently with caring interest. Fellas, that's our calling, to focus intently on the sheep with caring interest. Be shepherds of the flock that is under your care. That's the primary exhortation. And Peter gives the three attitudes with which we're to carry out that ministry. And notice the first one there in verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers. Now here's the attitude. Not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. We're going to see in three different times, Peter's going to give the improper attitude, followed by the proper attitude. And you saw it there. Not because you must, but because you are willing. And there's your proper attitude. We're not to serve out of compulsion. Not to serve out of compulsion. The Holy Spirit really brought conviction to my heart over the past couple weeks on this point right here. There's been times in my ministry through the years, especially in my new role, where I viewed the ministry as a job to perform. That's a sinful, wrong, hard attitude. Serving because I had to, not because I wanted to. And listen, when a pastor serves with a wrong heart motive, it's not just him who suffers. The entire flock suffers when we serve with wrong heart attitudes. You've got to recognize that the calling of an overseer is a noble task, Paul says. It's a high calling, a wonderful privilege. And it's not one that we're forced to do. It's one that Christ invites us to do. That Greek word for willingly means voluntarily, of one's own accord. So we don't serve out of a sense of duty. We serve willingly and joyfully in the ministry. And there's going to be days that you just don't want to do it anymore. You wake up and you'd rather be doing something else. And it's those days that you cannot quit. You cannot try to run and escape from the ministry. You ask God, God, give me the passion and the strength and the obedience to serve you just one more day in the ministry as shepherd. Shepherd the flock willingly. Not only must we shepherd the flock willingly, must also shepherd the flock eagerly. Peter gives that improper attitude again, followed by the proper attitude. Look at verse 2. I'm going to read the whole verse. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, there's the improper attitude, but eager to serve. Shepherd the flock eagerly. Now the church should pay its pastors fairly. The New Testament talks about that. Paul said that to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and a worker deserves his wages. Now I'll speak for all the pastors and say thank you. We do thank you for caring for us, for paying us fairly, for loving us and taking care of us as a church family. But money is an improper motive for ministry every time. Absolutely an improper motive for ministry. In fact, one of the spiritual qualifications of the pastor is that he not be a lover of money. Because we know love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Consider these two responses to a crisis situation. Some years ago, a fire broke out on an Air Canada flight from Dallas to Toronto. The pilot began a dramatic descent because he knew he had moments to respond if any were to survive. When that plane landed and they opened up the doors of the plane, the oxygen filled the cabin and it went up like an inferno, this plane. And many people were injured, many died, but because of the commitment of the crew, there were many who were rescued and saved on that day. The last one out of the plane was the captain. They pulled him through a window with his uniform on fire. He deserved the commendation he received following that event. Now contrast that with the response of a ferry captain in South Korea. When his ship began to sink, he immediately fled, and hundreds of people died. Many of them high school students. They died because they were awaiting instructions from the captain who had abandoned the ship. He deserved the condemnation that he received. Jesus said something very similar as it relates to shepherds and sheep. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. See the difference there? The shepherd serves. His motivation is love for the flock. The hired hand's motivation is money. The motivation of money versus the motivation of love. Pastors, we are called to serve eagerly. Not for what we can get out of this, but for what we can give. Be the last one out of the burning plane, not the first one off of the ship. Pastors are called to shepherd the flock willingly and eagerly. Finally, pastors are called to shepherd the flock humbly. I'll never forget the day, a very special moment in my life, something I didn't pursue, something all of God's grace. It's when Pastor John walked over to me from this pulpit and handed me the shepherd's staff. Some of you were here that day. Very special day for me, a very symbolic day of handing over, entrusting the care of the flock at Johnston Chapel to me as lead pastor. Very special moment. And I later commended Pastor John for his service here, for his example to all of us. I used two words to describe him, if you remember, on that Heritage Sunday. I referred to Pastor John as a humble shepherd. I can't think of a better description for his service here. Humble shepherd. He gave his life for this church. As great an example as Pastor John was of what it means to be a humble shepherd, there is a better example. There is a perfect example, that's Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, the great shepherd who lives for his sheep, and the chief shepherd who returns for his sheep. Look with me at verse 3. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Not lording it, improper attitude. Being examples, proper attitude. Humble service. You know, there's a temptation in ministry. Some of you are leaders in ministry. Some of you are leaders in the business world. There's a temptation to dominate. There's a temptation to manipulate people and circumstances. for yourself. There's the danger of serving for the recognition that you'll get. Loving power in the position that God's given you. But Jesus didn't model any of that for us. That was not His example. Jesus was a servant leader in absolutely every way. Going back to that metaphor, the shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. No, the shepherd leads the sheep, calling them to follow Him, calling them by name. What Peter's doing right here is he's passing on the same challenge that Jesus gave to him. Christ taught him that. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. Jesus called the disciples together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus came not to be served, not to serve Himself, but to serve others. Pastors, we are called to the same. Jesus came to give His life for the sheep. Pastors, we are called to the very same thing. We're to be examples to the flock. Are we perfect? No way. Ask my wife. We have problems. We have major problems. But generally, our heart's desire is to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow Jesus Christ. You might remember Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And it's us, as us pastors are passionately pursuing Jesus, that you all can come behind and we can say, "Imitate me, follow me, I'll lead you towards Jesus." That's the idea here that Peter is trying to get across. And notice the ultimate motivation here of pastoral ministry in verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Don't miss this. Not my glory, not the pastor's glory, but to God be the glory. Great things He has done in His church among His sheep. When Christ, the chief shepherd, returns for His church, He will reward the faithful pastor with the crown of glory. Literally, the crown which is eternal glory. Don't lose sight of the theme. Suffering for the sake of the gospel. Pastors, we'll give an account for how we lead the sheep at Johnston Chapel through the fiery trials of suffering in the days ahead, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Peter said this, "Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." We don't serve ourselves. We don't serve to please ourselves. We don't serve to please the flock. We serve to please the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, our sovereign judge. And Christ's discerning judgment on that day, His fiery judgment, will go straight to the heart of the pastor, and he will be able to identify the attitude with which we carried out our work as shepherds here at Johnston Chapel. Are we serving with willing, eager, and humble hearts? And that crown is Christ's approval. Christ's approval of our work. And I know we all want to hear it. "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful shepherd." I long to hear those words, to be faithful to my calling from Christ. And Peter already highlighted this ultimate motivation. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. "If anyone speaks, exercises their gifts like pastor teacher, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God." This is a serious time as we look at the Word of God. We want to be true to the truth of God's Word. They do so as one who speaks the very words of God. "If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever." Spiritual leaders, it's not what we do for God. It's what God does through us. To Him be the glory. They're not our gifts. They're His gifts. We don't exercise them with our own power. We exercise them with His power. So to Him be the glory. And on that day when we receive our crowns, we will gladly and rightly throw them at the feet of Jesus and declare, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You and you alone." Shepherds are called to care for the flock of God. What a noble task. It's to be carried out with the right, proper heart attitude. We must shepherd the flock willingly and eagerly and humbly. Just as Peter fulfilled his calling, may we also fulfill the calling of the chief shepherd. Take care of my sheep. Jesus has called us to that, to take care of my sheep. And I want to take a few moments now and explain this thing that we're trying to accomplish today out in the lobby. Stick with me just a few more moments. What we did is we took our church address list, which is pretty extensive. We reformatted that address list and got it down to 14 pages. It was Pastor James' brilliant idea, which it really was a brilliant idea. We have 14 leaders at the church, 4 pastors, 10 deacons, 14 men altogether, and we have a church address list now of 14 pages. So what we did is we entrusted one page to each of the church leaders. There are about 25 families on each one of those pages. If you do the math on that, you've got, let's say, an average of 3 people per family. We're talking about over 1,000 sheep. That's a lot of sheep to care for. A lot of sheep to pull out of the ditch from time to time. So we're going to provide personal care, all 14 of us, for those specific 25 families on our list, just to be able to keep up. No one gets, it's so easy at Johnston Chapel for people to get kind of slide away and be unnoticed because of the size when we're all here. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want it to happen at all. We've made an appeal to you to care for each other, to care for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Really, that's an extension of the pastoral ministry of care at Johnston Chapel. And we thank you for serving and loving one another. We also made an appeal to our deacons to assist us in this worthy endeavor, and they are eager and willing to help us. Very excited about it. I do want to take a moment to apologize to the sheep here at Johnston Chapel. Just trying to be real with you, my first year as your lead pastor was tumultuous, was overwhelming administratively, overwhelming as far as preaching the Word week to week. I make no excuses, but there were times that I neglected my responsibility of tenderly caring for the flock here. And I apologize for that. I'm thankful for Jim Simmons, my partner here. He is fantastic. We are blessed with him as a pastor of member care. We tag team on visitation, tag team on funerals. He does so much work behind the scenes that no one ever hears about. I'm just grateful for him. Thank you, Jim, for your help as we shepherd the flock here at Johnston Chapel. And there have been times I've neglected my care responsibilities because sometimes you get so overwhelmed by the need that it paralyzes you and you fail to do anything. And there have been times that have happened, but over the last couple of years, I've really committed myself to provide better care, not perfect care, but better care for the flock here at Johnston Chapel. So if I've hurt you, if I wasn't there for you in any way early on or even more recently, I do apologize. I love you. I want to care for you as a shepherd should. This new effort here doesn't mean I'm going to stop caring for the entire church body. I hope you understand that, all of us pastors. It's not like, that's my page. Ah, sorry, that sheep's not on my page. That one's on your page. Good luck with that, right? It's not like that at all. Jim and I and James and Pastor Jason, we will care for the entire flock, especially when there are emergencies. What we're talking about is regular contact and care of the church family. 1,000 sheep is an impossible task for 4 shepherds. It just is. We need help, and our deacons are willing to help us. 25 families is a manageable regular contact. That's manageable for that type of regular contact. So grateful for them. In the lobby, you're going to see 4 tables. You'll see your names listed alphabetically, basically segments of names, sections of names in the alphabet. I do want you to take some time. Don't run out of here, please. Go to the table where you can find your name alphabetically. On those papers in the lower right-hand corner, there is a deacon or pastor's name that is highlighted. That's the one who's assigned to care for you. You'll see your name on the list. You'll see his name in the lower right corner. And I encourage you to connect with that person. Not all of us are here today. A couple are at home for health reasons. But connect with that person and check your address, your email, your phone number. Make sure that's right. Listen, if your name's not on the list, we're sorry. We didn't do it on purpose. Sometimes record keeping isn't perfect and accurate. So make sure your name is on the list. If it's not, we have a way to add you to the list. If you've been attending Johnston Chapel for some time, but you haven't joined yet, I encourage you to join, but that still won't keep you from being cared for by us. Please put your name on that list. We want to care for you as one of the sheep at Johnston Chapel. So please take the time to do that as you leave here this morning. We do love you. We genuinely love you. We're committed to feeding and caring for and comforting and leading the flock here at Johnston Chapel. And I hope this will help us to do an even better job than we've done in the past. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask the pastors and deacons if they'd leave during that time so you can be at the tables to greet the church family. And then Pastor Jim will come lead us in a benediction. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I know I'm speaking for the pastors here. I speak for myself. Thank you for your gracious calling, being a shepherd of the flock. Forgive me. God, forgive me when I look at it as a job. Forgive me when I fall short. I want to be faithful. I need your help. I need your help, your grace, your power to exercise my gifts to your glory. I pray that for all our pastors, that we would indeed be found faithful. I pray for the sheep at Johnston Chapel, that they would truly feel loved here, that they would be encouraged by this new effort that we're making to care for them. Father, help no sheep to fall between the cracks, no sheep to wander away. Help us to be found faithful in caring for them. Thank you for the deacons here who love you, who love the people here, who are committed to serving them. Please bless them richly. Bless the time out at the tables, the fellowship, the conversation. And Father, I pray for the vote that just happened earlier. We want your will to be done. This isn't about us as leadership. This is about you and your glory in this place. So we ask your will be done in all of that. Thank you for this time and worshiping your great name. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. We can't wait to see you face to face. We'll serve you till then. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Jim.